this morning from those scriptures that were read for your hearing from the 21st chapter of the book of Luke. Verse number 25 says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and in glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." This morning, we want to talk from a subject, finding peace in these troublesome times. Christians already know that we live in a world full of troubles. Most of us have already experienced troubles in our lives. Many of us have read and studied God's Word, and the Word of God tells us that these times and these things will be coming our way. We watch, we read, we listen to the news, and we can see how it affects people. We get all kinds of warnings from the medical community on different health hazards. We have been told to watch what we eat. We have been told to watch how much we eat. And we've even been told where to eat at. But one thing is for certain. We have even seen the rise of fear of ourselves. We are afraid of ourselves today. Far too many nations of this world now want to arm themselves with weapons that are capable of flying across oceans and destroying other nations with the push of a button. And this is in addition to all of the internal conflicts that we have in our society. People harming one another. There is just no wonder that people are asking the question today, when and where will it all end? So the question becomes, can we find peace in these troublesome times? I think we can rest assured that there is peace in the Lord. And even though we may not live to see peaceful times on this earth, God shall eventually put it all in order. God shall put it all in order on this earth. And even though we may not be here to see it, God still knows how to handle each and every situation. When I looked up the word peace, I found peace in 59 of the 66 books of the Bible. That ought to tell us how important that word peace is. And I spell it P-E-A-C-E, not P-I-E-C. So when we think about peace, I'm talking about the peace that gives us tranquility, the peace that calms us. You know, all of us need to do just what the Word of God tells us to do. And if you would just take note of one scripture in particular, Psalms 121, verses number 1 and 2. The Bible says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." When you get in trouble, when troublesome times visit your home, when troublesome times visit you, you need to just take time to look to the hills where cometh your help. And there's several things that we need to remember today. We need to remember just that God is still in control. If you were to listen to some folks who call themselves Christians, and I'm not talking about anybody here, but like I always tell you, if it's you, I'm sorry. But if we listen to some Christians, we could be led to believe that God has abandoned us or that He has left this world. And some even paint such a picture as to make others believe that Jesus is still in the grave and God has closed up His heavenly shop. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God is still on the case and God is still on the scene. God still knows what goes on. God's hours of service are anytime, all the time, and every time. So when you think about it, church, troubles come to all of us. And I know what some may say, "Well, preacher, you talk about troubles a lot." That's because every time I hear of somebody having problems, it brings to mind troubles. It tells me that people are experiencing all kinds of situations in their lives. In this text for today, we find Jesus speaking of the end times. And in verse number 25, look what He says. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth the distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves began to roaring. So when you think about it, Jesus speaks in His own words. And when the God of our Bible speaks, we need to listen to what He has to say. Some may say, well, preacher, how do we know that God is still right? How can we know that God has not left us? Well, when you go over in the book of Hebrews, just a little bit farther over in the New Testament, you can find in verse number 13 and verse number 5 where the writer said, for He has said, I will never leave nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, nor will I ever turn my back on you, in other words. Now, if this not be true, this would make the Hebrew writer a lie as well as God Himself. And according to the Word of God, God cannot lie. In that same book of Hebrew chapter 6 and verse number 18, the Bible says it was or it is impossible for God to lie. I don't know about you, but as for me, and I speak of me personally this morning, as for me, I would rather believe a word of God from the past than a word from man of today. You can count on God's word. You can't always count on the man today to fulfill His promises or to fulfill what He has told you He would do. You know, we sometimes make promises that it's hard for us to keep. We sometimes make statements that we can't back up, but yet when God makes a statement or God issues a promise, you can bank on it, church, because it's going to come. It may not have come yet, but it's going to come. But I tell you something, church, when you think about it, I like the way Isaiah put it in the book of Isaiah in chapter 43, starting around verse number 11, where he says, this is the Lord speaking. He says, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Then in verse number 13, he says, before the day was, I am He. Now God is God back then, and God is still God today. And I don't see any reasons that Christians need to be afraid. All we need to do is just go to God's Word. Look at verse number 26. The Bible said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then in verse number 27, it says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and with great glory. Oh, church, that's going to be a sight to see with the power of God coming in glory. And the Bible says He's coming, so I believe He's coming. You are all familiar, if you've been in your Bibles at all of you are familiar with the old text of in Daniel, where it talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where the three Jewish boys were thrown into a fiery furnace and King Nebuchadnezzar standing around trying to figure out. He didn't know the power of God was with these three Hebrew boys. But I'll tell you something, church. When you have the power of God on your side, man cannot harm you. Oh yeah, I know that a man can take our lives, but didn't the Bible tell us to fear not the man who can take your soul, but fear him that can take both body and soul? And then so in Daniel chapter 3, around about verse number 24, I believe it is, somebody asked the question, I believe it was King Nebuchadnezzar, he asked the question, he said, didn't we put three men in the fire, in that fiery furnace? Somebody said, yes, we put three, but he said, when I looked in there, I saw four. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Don't you think that these three Hebrew boys were looking for peace? They found peace through God Himself stepping in the fiery furnace. God is in the business of taking care of us in these troublesome times. And somebody said, well, preacher, I don't know if God can handle all the troubles I've got. God has been there from the very beginning. God knows how to handle trouble. God knows how to take care of trouble. God can see trouble from its beginning to its end. We can only see it when we get in it. So we need to remember that the Word of God is also still truth. So many men have tried and failed to prove the Bible to be a faith. They have tried to discredit the writers as mere men. They have even resorted to banning the Bibles. And we've even went a step further. We have even taken prayer out of schools, according to the decision by the Supreme Court. But I'll tell you something. God's Word is still true no matter what you do with the Bible. You can burn the Bible. You can destroy the Bible. You can put the Bible under your mattress and never put it out. But the Word of God will still be true. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the verses number 16, you all know it. It says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Now somebody said, well, what does it all mean by inspiration of God? Well, according to the definition, it's a supernatural influence given to the sacred writers by the Spirit of God. Therefore, these writings are given divine trustworthiness. Oh, divine trustworthiness. Well, I tell you something. If you can't trust the Bible, who then can you trust? Or what then can you trust? These writers are given that trustworthiness. All Scriptures, meaning that all of the Scriptures, the Old as well as the New Testament. In other words, the Bible is God's Word and God's Word is truth. And when man comes into the picture trying to disprove God's Word, all they do is make fools of themselves. So I tell you, church, all we need to do is just do what the Bible says. We don't have to understand it, because you know we are a people that say, well, if I don't understand it, I just don't do it. Well, then you can't apply that to the Bible. Look what the text says. He says, and then starting in verse 26 again, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. But look at verse number 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Oh, glory is great, church. Glory is great. But then, when I think about all of the problems that go on in this world today, and I think about all the troubles that I see in the world today, and you look at all of the troubles in the world that you see today, and sometimes all we have to do is just open our eyes, because there's trouble in our own homes. When we open up our eyes and look around our living space, we can find trouble. And don't go to your front window or your front door, I should say. If you go to your front door, trouble sometimes is all standing out in front of our door. To understand it all we need to do is just let God take precedent in our life. The Holy Spirit was sent to be a comforter to us. So when Jesus left this world, He said that I would send a comforter. And so why do we still doubt that God is still looking after us? Why do we need to doubt His abilities to guard, guide, and help look after us? In John 16, verses 7 through about 8, Jesus said, I must go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Today, all of us, we all just want to have a little peace in our lives. We just all want everything to be as peaceful as can be. Have you ever looked at the lake? Since we don't live around the ocean, we have to look at the lake. But have you ever just took a look out on the lake sometimes when the water is calm and there are no waves and people are out enjoying the water? But then you look at it another day and sometimes the waves become so violent they come across Lakeshore Drive. That's troubled waters, church. But troubled waters hits our lives just like that. One day it's calm and peaceful. The next day things begin to happen in our lives. But Jesus said that He would send the Comforter to us. And then what did the Comforter come to do for us? The Comforter came to empower us. And we all like to be empowered, don't we, church? In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus told the disciples, after the Holy Spirit has come, you shall receive what? Power. Then when you think about it, church, when you look at verse number 27 again, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We've got to understand, if we want peace in these troublesome times, we have to find God. So one other thing I want you to know, to remember this morning, church, is that God is still going to return. Isn't that what verse 27 says? And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. And verse number 28 says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, and your redemption draweth nigh. Oh yeah. Yes, we live in trouble sometimes, and sometimes it seems like there's nothing but no good news, just bad news day in and day out. And it seems as though life is not what it used to be. Well, I got news for you. Life is the same as it used to be. It's the people that's changed, not life. We get up every morning. That's what our foreparents did before us. We get up and we go to the table and we sit down and eat. Just like our foreparents did. We get up and many of us go to work. And if you have to go to school, you go to school. That's what our foreparents did. So life itself has not changed, but people have changed life. They have attempted to change life. Life is still the same, but now we got all kind of different things that we do in the world today. Some folk no longer go to work. They get up and go in another room and get on the computer, and that's their job. Other folks sometimes have to get up and they begin to wonder about in the morning times, and they ask themselves the question, or they remember, I should say, they remember when they used to go to work. They remember when times were once like it used to be. But I'll tell you something, we can't live on memories. Memories are good, don't get me wrong. But we've got to live for the moment, and we've got to seek God each and every moment of each and every one of our days. So I can assure you, church, that it's the people that change. So when you go back to the text, look at verse number 28 of Luke chapter 21. And when these things began to come to pass, then look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And when these things come to pass, church, yes, church, God is going to bring all of this to an end one day. No matter what kind of trouble you are experiencing in your life, God is going to bring it all to an end one day. The Lord is coming back. And if you're not already doing it, you need to be preparing for His return. You need to prepare and you need to get ready and stay watchful. According to Matthew chapter 24, around verse number 44, the Bible says to be also ready, for He comes in an hour as we think not. In other words, just when you're living, you think you're living good. Just when you start to live, oh, I'm high on the hog now, I'm doing well. Well, God may call you at that very moment. He may be coming back. Oh, yeah. I'm just like the rest of you. I get happy sometime and I say to myself, oh, I'm doing quite well now. Not that I got a lot of money, because I don't. Let me just put that out up front. But you see, I'm at an age now where I enjoy life more than money. See, money is good to have, but life and peace is even better. You know, when you can't find peace in your own home, there's something wrong. When you come to church and you can't find peace, there is something wrong. When you go on your job and it's not peaceful, there's something wrong. So you go to God and you ask Him to help you find this peace. You ask Him to help you find this peace through these troubled times. And yes, sometimes these troubles seem overwhelming to us, but God can fix all of them. Man will surely let us down. Do you remember, some of you, I might date a little bit, but some of you will remember, you remember the TV show Superman? Oh yeah, the man in the, with the flying cape man. Well, according to when the show first came on, they said he stood for truth, justice in the American way. But he died, didn't he, church? So we don't have Superman anymore. But then when I went to the Bible and I went to John 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not just for American people, but for all people all over the world. And guess what? Jesus also died, but guess what? He came back to life, didn't he, church?
He took away the sting of death, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and about verse number 55. He took victory from the grave. So troublesome times are here. Yes, troublesome times are here now, and they are very real occurrences. What is troublesome times? Well, troublesome times occur in homes when one spouse decides they want to divorce the other one because I don't like the way he puts on his socks. He puts the left one on and he ought to put the right one on first because he's right-handed or because he's left-handed. That's no reason to have a divorce, but those are troublesome times. Parents abandoning their children and leaving the children all by themselves, abandoned babies. And you know what they say? They abandon babies because the babies cry too much. Well, newsflash, that's a baby's job to cry, isn't it, church? That's all he does. He cries. So troublesome time comes in all of our lives. Troublesome times occur when children are running the homes because the parents are AWOL. They're not there, and so the children raise themselves. Have you ever known children who raise themselves? That's troublesome times, you know, and you need God to bring peace into that home. Troublesome times. Or when people go to bed at night because they don't have enough to eat. Sometimes I begin to feel guilty about that myself because I go to bed so full. And you do too. You do too. And there are people who don't have enough to eat, and many of us are overeating. Isn't that right? Oh, you don't have to say it's right. I know it's right. But when you think about it, when you think about it, church, the troublesome time even happened in the church. You know when it happens in the church? When the church can reach out and help somebody and the church won't help somebody. Oh yeah, I had to throw that in too. But you see, I like God because God knows if the church can help. God knows if you can help. And you know, a lot of us, we think help means every time we turn around, it means I got to give some more money. That's not what it means. Sometimes a phone call is worth more than a few dollars you'll give. Sometimes a kind word or just calling somebody and say, listen to me for a minute. I hope you're doing all right, but I'm going to be praying for you. And you know, like I always tell you, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. And even if you don't pray for me, I'm still going to pray for you anyhow. Well, that's all you need to do sometimes. You don't always have to give money. God knows whether we are right and whether we can be, or whether we were right and whether we did right. He knows that because He is the Lord. And isn't it good to know that one day this will all be over and all that will be left would be the receiving of our crown. Look at verse number 28 again. And when these things began to come to pass, then look up, church. You got to hold your head up sometime. You got to look up and then you got to lift up your head. And for your redemption, draw it nigh. Many of us walk around with our heads down. That means we won't be able to look up one day. But you got to look up because one day we've got some crowns coming to us. Do you have a crown coming to you this morning? In James chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Do you love Him this morning? Do you want peace in your life this morning? Then you ought to be looking toward the crown that God has in store for you. And then Peter didn't do any worse when he said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4, and when the shepherd shall appear, I told you he was coming back, and when the shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that what does not fade away. Oh, church, you got a crown coming if you're doing right. You got a crown coming if you do the right thing. And how do I do the right thing as I bring this message to a close? Well, I tell you something, church. Whatever the Bible says is the right thing. And you think about all those people who have tried to prove the Bible wrong and just made just total fools of themselves. They said those men couldn't have known all that they put in God's Word. Well, they didn't. But God breathed the breath of inspiration on them and gave them those words, didn't He, church? All right. So I tell you, when I open my Bible and I look at God's Word, I see words that were put there through God Himself. And then when I think about it even further,
Sometimes I ask myself the question, God, do you really want me to do that way? And then I have to say to myself, because I've asked myself this question over and over. I've told myself over and over, I should say, that I'm not going to question God. Because God has more knowledge in His fingertips than I have in my whole body. I get up in the morning and God guides me to get out of bed. I get up in the morning and God allows me to get dressed. I get up in the morning and I think back on the night before. I slept and I slumbered. And I didn't know what I was doing, but guess what? God was there to see me through. Didn't He do the same for you? I believe He did. So do we owe God a debt of gratitude? Yes, we do. Can we find peace through the Lord? Yes, we can. Again, once again, 59 books, peace. Peace. You know, it's good to have peace. It's good to have peace everywhere. And the only way that you're going to find peace is to know peace, and know peace is to know Jesus. No Jesus, no peace. So this morning I asked the question of you this morning, have you been to the watery grave of baptism? Have you aligned yourself with Jesus Christ? How do I do that? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And what if I did that long time ago, preacher? Well, like I tell you every Sunday that I'm up here, I tell you, it doesn't make any difference if you did it long time ago and walked out the door. God will still accept you back if you ask Him to forgive you for your sin and then come forward and ask the church to pray for you. I purposely didn't make a comment on the picnic yesterday, but everybody ate and was full. You owe God a debt of gratitude for that. You know, the food didn't just... Somebody said, well, the food... I bought the food from Jewel. But where do you think Jewel got the food from? Jewel got the food from a grower, and a grower got the food from the ground. Who owns the ground? God. All right. So we owe God a debt of gratitude no matter which way we look at it. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing.